worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you.
Te adoro, Dios, O gran Señor, nadie hay como tú. Te adoro, Dios, Príncipe de paz. Eso es lo que anhelo hacer, te alabaré. Eres mi justicia. Te adoro, Dios, oh gran Señor. Nadie hay como tú. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. There is none like you. I worship you. Oh, Prince of Peace.
Oh, Prince of Peace.
That is what I want to do.
That is what I want to do.
I give you
praise.
For you are my righteousness.
You are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God.
There is none like you.
There is none like no one like you. There is none like no one like you. There is none like you.
In heaven there will be a multitude numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 or around 10,000 encircling the throne saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Amen?
Amen.
To receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Let's crown him this morning.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthems drown, all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee. King through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side. Rich wounds yet visible above. In beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully sight, but downward bends his wandering eye at mysteries so bright. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious to the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing,
On the day of Pentecost, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see vision, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit on those days, and they will prophesy. Right? We worship the same God, right? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the everlasting God.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord.
Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings. Like eagles, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord.
Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord.
Our God,
you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Don't you know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak.
Amen.
Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. You're the everlasting, everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't
defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Lord Jesus, stand by us this morning.
The night has come, and the land is dark, and the moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. So Jesus, won't you stand by me? Oh, stand by me now. Oh, stand.
Stand by me. Stand by me.
If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall,
and the mountains
should crumble to the sea, I won't cry, I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear, just as long as you stand by me. So Jesus, won't you stand by me? Whoa, stand by me.
Stand by me.
Stand by me. And Jesus, won't you help me to open the eyes of my heart, Lord? Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see you. I want to see you.
Open the eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see you. I want to see you.
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up,
pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Open the eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. Open it to see you.
I want to see you.
Open the eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see you. I want to see you.
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up,
want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Women sing holy, men sing open.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Holy, holy.
I want to see you. Men sing open. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Holy, holy.
I want to see you. I want to see you.
I want to see you. I want to see you.
Before we start, some of you know Rachel, who is actually a lady from Rwanda who has been coming to our church for a while. She has not been here. I think it's going on 7 weeks right now. Rachel is in a coma. I went to see her again this week. I've seen her several times. Went to her, read scripture, talked to her, told her she had a job to do, that her kids needed her, that her grandkids needed her. Prayed for her to get up. While I was there, her eyes opened up. I mean, just like you're looking at me. The nurse came in, said she's been doing that, you know, when visitors come. And so I just felt strongly impressed upon that we as a church need to take Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week and to pray and fast that Rachel Abi Nabiri would wake up. So I would like you to join me in that. Now, some of you have never fasted before, right? Jesus said that there is power in fasting. If you can just fast a meal a day, that is fine. However the Lord leads you, whatever he leads you to fast, you can fast. But I want you to pray for her on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday in a special way that she would wake up. I'm asking, too, if there is anybody, if anybody here is interested, I'm looking for at least three people who would be willing to fast all three meals for three straight days. You can still have water. You can still have fruit juice. I just feel led of God to do that. We really need to pray for her. Probably if you've never fasted, I don't recommend that you even attempt that. But if you have fasted before and if the Lord would lay that on your heart, I would challenge you. Or if you fasted for 1 day or 2 days, maybe this is a way God wants to take you to a new level with your experience of fasting. So we need to pray for her that God would touch her and wake her up.
Good morning and welcome to everyone. There is nursery care downstairs and there's children's worship downstairs during the sermon time. You are welcome to bring the children downstairs for them to enjoy their own special time of worship. On Wednesday from 7 to 8, we have prayer service up here for the adults, and in the fellowship hall, there is prayer service, or there is a youth group meeting for the junior high and high school children, and we encourage you to come to that. Today, the young adult fellowship meets at Pastor's House, the 20-something for luncheon fellowship. Saturday, I messed this up so big time last week, and I'm going to get it right this time because I talked to Sangeeta. It is Saturday, May 29th from 9 to 12. This is May 30th, but it's the 29th from 9 to 12. And anyone who wants to come and help clean up around the church building, it is great for you to come. We want to install the air conditioners, and we need the windows cleaned before that. We're starting a new members class on Saturday, June 12th, 19, and 26 from 9 to 11. If you're interested, see Pastor so he knows. And there's a church raft trip on Saturday, June 26th. It's $25 a person. It's a lot of fun. I encourage you to go if you can. They're leaving church at 7:30 in the morning with the wagon train. And then there's a concert coming up, Help for Haiti. Haitian choir is coming Sunday, July 11th. So stay tuned, it says, for more information. VBS is coming. Miss Barbara's put up our banner. Last week in the bulletin, there was a volunteer. If you want to volunteer and help out, just fill it out and give it to Miss Barb. I know she needs help. I want you to remember how much fun you had at the Easter egg hunt, and it can go on for a whole week, not just one day. So I encourage you to come and join the fun of VBS. And then also youth camp is coming up. Oh, I'm sorry, VBS is July 19th to 24th, and it's in the evening, correct? It'll be in the evening. And then youth camp is August 1 through 6, and the mission conference is September 10th.
Scripture reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Persia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Some, however, made fun of them, said they had too much wine.
As we go to prayer this morning, some of you know that I like the Beach Boys when I'm in the van in the summertime. And the lead singer for the Beach Boys is a guy by the name of Brian Wilson. And we have another Brian Wilson with us here today, Russell's cousin, Kevin's brother, who's in the back. Just raise your hand. Your brother told me I was supposed to embarrass you, so you can get even intimidated. So we want to pray. In 2 weeks, you go to Afghanistan. So we've prayed several people off as they've gone, and we want to lift him up. Let's go to prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this incredible passage of Scripture that we just read. Lord, for that first day of Pentecost when your Holy Spirit came with power and became available to all of us in the Church of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we think about how people from all over the known world came just because they heard a wind. Father, we ask that the wind would so blow through our lives as individuals and as a church, that people would come. Lord, not only that people would come, Father, but that we as your people would be sent out in love and in power and with the anointing of your Holy Spirit to reach the world that you are calling us to reach. Father, in a special way, we want to pray this morning for Brian. We pray that you would lay your hand upon him, that you would bless him as he worships with us this morning. Father, that you would place a hedge of protection around him as he goes to Afghanistan. Lord, be with him in that time. Keep him safe. Lord, keep him well. Lord, help him to do his job well and to honor you as he does. Father, bless us as we go through this service this morning. Father, we hunger for more of your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit we ask for this morning. Spirit of the Lord.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me more.
Father, we're reminded of the words of that old hymn that begins, Lord, nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to your cross I cling. Father, we are here this morning because we need a touch from you. We don't just need to hear words. We just don't need to hear a sermon. But Father, we need to have your Holy Spirit breathe life, Lord, to the words that I'm about to speak this morning and to our ears, Father, that we can hear what your Spirit is saying to us at this time and the point in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pentecost Sunday, right? A time that the church has for a very long time gone back and remembered the importance of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives. And one of the great messages of Pentecost is that when it comes to life and when it comes to our walk with Jesus, that God has something more for us. Stephen Olford wrote a classic book, which I love. Stephen Olford is a preacher, I think one of the best preachers of the last 75 years, who's had a tremendous influence on my life. But he wrote this little book called Not I, But Christ, and this is what he says. Years in the ministry have taught me that many people endure the Christian life rather than enjoy it. They know what it is to be forgiven of sins. They have a hope of heaven. But in between the experience of saving faith and that final experience of when they will see Jesus, there is a vast gap in their lives characterized by barrenness, frustration, and failure. I believe what Stephen Olford said is true, but I want to submit to you this morning that it is not the way God has designed it to be. Christianity, if it's real Christianity, is all about something more. God wants to give us something more. It's about what Jesus called the abundant life, right? Life that is lived to the full. It's what Paul pointed to when he said things like, God is able to do beyond what we could even ask, think, or can you think about this, beyond what we can even imagine. I've kind of got a good imagination, right? I've been blessed with that. God wants to do beyond that. Somewhere between those words of Jesus and Paul and Stephen Olford's, there's a disconnect somewhere that God wants to reconnect for us in our lives through the power of his Holy Spirit in our lives. I can think of no better passage in Scripture that points us to a solution to that problem than Paul's words to a group of Christians living in a city called Thessalonica who needed the something more of God in their lives to be manifest. So I want you to open up your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 9. New Testament book. A little one, so if you need to look in your index, don't be embarrassed. 1 Thessalonians 3:9 says this. Paul says, how can we thank God enough for you? He's talking about the believers in Thessalonica. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of God because of you? Don't you wish that someone would say something like that about you? Don't you wish that, especially somebody like the Apostle Paul? Paul is saying, in effect, you guys rock my world. Right? You know, the group in Thessalonica, he has nothing bad to say about the Christians in the city of Thessalonica. Listen, I want you to listen just how he describes them earlier in his letter. In chapter 1, verse 3, now this is kind of the pastor's translation. So you can kind of follow or you can just kind of listen. But in 1:3, it says, you are not only serving God, you are serving him. You believers are serving him in the right motives. You are serving him in God's trifecta of faith, hope, and love. Right? A lot of times we can serve and not have it be done for the right reasons. We could do it for self-glorification. We can do it because we want to look good in front of other peoples. Paul said, you in Thessalonica are doing it right. In verse 7, he says, he calls them a model, not only to their city, not only to the county that they lived in, not only to their Roman state, but all around the world. Paul says, I hold you up as an example for all the other believers. In chapter 2, verse 13, he says, they know how to receive the word of God, and they know how to do it in a way that produces fruit. It just wasn't an intellectual thing, but it was producing fruit. In verse 14, he says they know how to stand up to persecution. In verse 19 of chapter 2, he says he considers them, get this, he says, you are my hope, my joy, and my crown. Now, if the Thessalonians lived today, they would be asked to lead how to do it like the Thessalonians church seminar. People would be paying to go hear how they did it. If an article were written about them in Christianity Today, they'd be the cover story. All of which, what Paul says to them in the next verse seems so incredibly strange. Look at it, verse 10, chapter 3. These are an incredible group of people that Paul has nothing negative to say about. And then this is what he says. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again. And again, here's the strange part. And supply what is lacking in your faith. You can underline that. Boy, that's a great verse of scripture. And supply what is lacking in your faith. I don't know about how you like to read the Bible, but when I read verses like 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, my brain starts to frizzle a little bit. Right? Little sparks start to fly. The believers in this city were doing so well, right? We just went over those scriptures. Paul has nothing negative to say about them. They were doing so well. So I read a scripture like that and I say, what could be lacking? What are they missing? What are they missing in their faith? Now, immediately this says a couple of things to me. The first is this. God has something more for us. God has something more for all of us. It's what Pentecost is all about. None of us ever rises to such an exalted spiritual state that there's no more room for growth. None of us. Right? I've heard people talk about being baptized in the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit, and people ask whether it's legitimate or not, or if, you know, we need a second work of God's grace to be manifest in my life. Let me tell you something. We need more than a second work of grace. We need a third, a fourth, and a fifth. And a sixth, right? We need God's power. We do. We need God's power to be continually poured into our life. Remember a couple weeks ago, I think it was last week, I talked about E. Stanley Jones said this about his spiritual life. He said, God places this crown on our heads, and just when we think we've grown into this crown, he moves it up 2 inches. It's true. Doesn't that excite you? I've got like tingly goosebumps. It excites me. It excites me. God has more for me. I want to keep on growing till the day I die or the day he comes to meet with all of us in the sky. I want that. I want to keep growing. And you know what? Even that won't be the end of it. God's got a whole universe out there that somebody's got to do something with. It doesn't end when we die. It continues. I want you to think about this. The disciples were personally mentored by Jesus Christ himself for 3 years. Can you imagine? They saw him die for their sins on the cross. They were there at Calvary. Well, some of them. But they all knew about it. Some kind of ran away. But they saw him die for their sins on the cross. They were eyewitnesses. Can you imagine the impact of seeing somebody who was killed the way Jesus was killed to see them resurrected from the dead? They were eyewitnesses of his majesty, of his resurrection. When he was still alive, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That's when he was still with them. He's still alive today. But God still had something more for them. So he said, go and wait. Wait until the promise of the Holy Spirit is fulfilled in you. So he brings this event that we read about, that Sangeeta read about, on the day of Pentecost. It's amazing. God has something more for each of us. If he had that much more for the disciples, what about people like you and me? Oh, boy. We need all the help we can get. Another thing this says to me is, just secondly, our understanding of Christianity is severely limited by so much substandard Christian experience that's all around us. Christianity is so much more than just saying a sinner's prayer. You know what I'm talking about? Sinners' prayers are good things. It starts by acknowledging that I have sin in my life, and I need to, God to forgive me and cleanse me and wash away wrong everything I've ever done, and Scripture says he promises to do that. But there's still something more. It doesn't end at an altar. It begins. Now, Christianity is more than just a fire insurance policy to keep you out of hell. Now, if you're on your way to hell, and fire insurance policy is probably a good idea. We need it. But there's more. Christianity is more than just mental assent to the facts of the gospel. You know what I mean? I believe that there's a God. It's more than just believing that God exists. Jesus said, even the demons believe in a God, and their zip code is where? Hell. They believe in him. They believe all the right stuff. They just go in the wrong direction. Now, even though others may settle for all of the above watered-down versions and descriptions or partial descriptions of Christianity, there's something more. And no blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ needs to settle for anything less. God wants something more for us in each and every one of our lives. This was so important. Listen to what Paul the Apostle says in verse 11. Right? He starts to describe right after that, right? There's a connection. One verse follows another. He tells us what this something more is in the next verse. He says, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ clear the way for us to come to you. Now this is what he is coming to complete. This next thing is what is lacking, that he wants to be fulfilled in their lives. He says, may the Lord make your love increase. Right? People used to talk about our love being perfected. May your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. Right? Just as ours does for you. They were loving people. But they needed more. You know, it was one thing for them to love each other. It sounded to me like they were a pretty lovable group, the Thessalonians. They would have been people who were easy to love. It's one thing to love the Apostle Paul. They had to. He was an apostle, right? Reminds me, a while ago, before I was married, I used to share an apartment with two other single guys, and God would teach us all kinds of things. And I remember one day I was going through the book of Psalms. And I said to myself, I looked at Jim, who was like best man at my wedding. I said, Jim, I can't believe how much David talked about God. And he looked at me and he said, Doug, he had to. It was the Bible. Right? They had to love. They loved each other. It was easy. They loved the Apostle Paul. But it's a whole nother thing to love the everyone else's. In case you haven't noticed, there are some everyone else's who are pretty hard to love. But he's praying for this love to increase and expanding them. So what's the point? You can't begin to love like he is calling you to love. You need to know this without a deeper infilling of the Holy Spirit. You really can't. That's really what the infilling's about. It's this supernatural ability to love in ways that are beyond what you can ask, think, or imagine. You can't begin to live the something more kind of Christian life unless God does a deeper work in your heart. It needs to go deep. Now, the word that is translated, may your love increase, literally means to superabound, to increase to the point of superabundance. Kind of a cool word. The Message translation translates verse 12 this way. Listen to it. May the Master pour on the love. May Jesus pour on the love so it fills your lives and splashes over on everyone around you, just as it does from us to you. Ever been around a splasher? A Christian who is just a splasher, right? Jesus' love just bubbles from them. Now, I've been around those people. A lot of you in this church are splashers.
And I'm glad that you are. I don't want to embarrass you, so I'm not going to single you out. Because then you're going to get proud. And then you'll stop splashing. And then nobody will get wet, and nobody will come to church anymore. Yvonne Roller, I've used her as an example before. Our bishop's wife is a splasher. Right? She's a splasher. We were in Florida recently for a conference. I could not find the bishop. I spent 2 days looking for my superintendent because there were so many people there. I met my former superintendent, and he said, Doug, if you don't find your superintendent, that's probably a good thing. If he's looking for you, it means you're in trouble. But I couldn't find the bishop. I couldn't find the superintendent. Sometimes I couldn't even find Russell and Elizabeth, even with Barnabas. Well, I would hear Barnabas scream, and I know you were somewhere in the room. But when I came into the hotel in Orlando, Yvonne Roller was greeting everyone as they came in. Amen. Like over 1,000 people. Now, this is the cool thing. She wasn't a greeter. She wasn't. She was greeting everybody. That's because wherever Yvonne Roller goes, she splashes everyone she meets with Jesus all the time. When we were there, I saw her praying with one of the people who were serving coffee and donuts to us in the morning. I've told other stories about her. I just saw it again. She's absolutely amazing. It was splashers who drew me to Jesus before I was a Christian. Just people whose lives I couldn't humanly explain. Now, what Paul is saying in verse 12 is this. I want to take you into a realm of the Spirit that you have never experienced before. It's going to involve this superabundant ability to love others like you've never been able to do. It's a love that goes so deep, it won't only overflow to your friends at church. We need that. Right? But it's a love that will overflow to everyone around you. It's that same love that pulses through God the Father's heart, that compelled him to send his one and only son to a world that really wasn't all that interested. But it's a love that moved God to release his son to this earth. And it's a love that compelled Jesus, right, to these incredible acts of obedience. Last week in Hebrews, we talked about Jesus learning obedience through what he suffered. Jesus didn't have to do any of that. But he did it willingly because of that superabundance to the greatest sacrifice that the world has ever known. God is here this morning, and he is looking for willing vessels. Men and women, boys and girls, who are willing to be splashers. He needs more splashers. Who so desperately, I got to tell you this is not going to happen. This is not going to happen if you don't want it to happen. It's not magic. Some dust would have been good. It's not magic. There has to be this desire in this heart, in your heart, and this sickness. You know what I'm talking about? Just tired of me. But you realize it's got to be more of me and it's got to be more about God. Like what Paul says, let me decrease so he might increase in me. There has to be that hunger there that we so desperately want something more. That's something more so much that we are willing to be filled, right? That we want to do this. Because our heart's desire becomes that we want to drench everyone we come in contact with all the time. Now, there is something more this world desperately needs and something we need to fill up what is lacking our faith. That splashing love is part of it. And we not only need that supernatural baptism of love, we desperately need, in the church in America and around the world, a deeper experience of God's holiness. Man, we as believers in Jesus Christ need to be different. Not weird. There's too much of that. We need to be marked by this love. We need to be different. We need to be holy. Paul writes about it in verse 13. He says, may he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless. He's not just talking about some theoretical thing. I'm forgiven by the blood of Jesus so I can go out and do anything. He's really talking about making us blameless. So that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus Christ comes with his, what kind of ones? Somebody's got to be reading their Bible. You're all kind of looking at me. His holy ones. God cares about holiness. In case you haven't noticed, the world is falling apart. Pastors say that all the time. Turn on the news networks. They talk about it periodically. Actually, much more and more frequently. I'm not just talking about environmental disasters. I'm not just talking about financial meltdowns. I'm not just talking about riots in Europe. Riots in Europe? Somebody needs to pay attention and watch the news. I'm not just talking about international terrorism. There is a moral crisis that is ripping the fabric of this planet apart. Marriages are breaking down everywhere. Parents are doing the most unnatural things and walking away from their families. Our leaders lie to us. They tell us they're lying to us. Nobody cares. Sex. Everybody's eyes just got a little wide. Meant to be this beautiful gift. By the way, that God designed. What? Yeah. God designed it. This wonderful gift shared only between a husband and a wife in the context of marriage. Everybody heard me? Right? Is cheapened and violated in almost every form and every way. All around them. And people are broken by it and hurt deeply. It's time we in the church stand up and say enough. Things are going to be different. You know what? We need to say it to our toxic society. But even more importantly, we need to say it to our didn't they used to say charity starts at home? Like, repentance starts at home. It does. It starts with you and me. God wants to set us free and be different. He wants to strengthen our hearts so that we would be blameless and holy in his sight. There's something more. He wants to set us free from our sins. He wants to set us free from our addictions. He wants to set us free from our fears. He wants us to tell the truth. He wants us to be people who are honest. He wants us to be people who remain sexually pure until marriage. To once again be men and women of character. To be men, right? To the guys who are here, to stand up and be men. To be men and women of character and holy love in a world that desperately needs someone to point the way. God is calling you and me to be those someone. We need to have our hearts strengthened by him. Now, let me just say that. What did your mama used to tell you? Every time you point your finger at someone else, you've got... I have three pointing back at me and one in the air. Right? None of us in this room are without spot or blemish. None of us. It's not about what has happened in your past. It's about what you want to be in the future. By God's grace flowing through you. He can strengthen you. He can make you holy. How did you become a Christian, right? You asked Jesus into your heart by faith to forgive us of your sins. I got to tell you, you don't become holy by trying to become holy. The only thing that happens when you try to become holy is you become neurotic. This change happens in you as you surrender to Him. It's a surrender thing. It's something that the Holy Spirit starts to do. I'm not just talking about things on the outside. Russell said to me this morning, "You look like a pastor who goes knocking on doors with the shirt and the tie." I'm not just talking about the outside. I'm talking about something that happens from the inside out. A genuine change in our character. Someone said to me a while ago, "I was 12 when I asked Jesus into my heart. It wasn't until I was in my 40s that my heart was fully His." As we close this morning, the altar's open for prayer. We normally do that earlier, but it's open. If you need that something more in your life, He's here to give it. And I've got some oil. The altar's going to be open for people. The readers can come up. That's a good thing. To anoint you and pray for you. If you need a supernatural filling of His love, some of you are struggling with loving someone. That's hard to love. God wants to fill you. If you want to become a splasher, you need to first come and be filled. The altar's open at any time.
Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to Him, "Forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say, 'Our gods,' to what our own hands have made. For in you the fatherless find compassion. I will heal their waywardness and love them freely. For my anger has turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily. Like a cedar of Lebanon, he will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like an olive tree. His fragrance like the cedar of Lebanon.
For I will pour out water on the thirsty land and the streams of the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They will be like spring, they will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams. One will say, 'I belong to the Lord.' Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Still another will write on his hand, 'The Lord, the Lord's,' and I will take the name and will take the name of Israel."
You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard?
Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts and the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the wake of His mercy. Now to Thee we sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Stand. We need Him to fill us, right, as a congregation, as individuals. Empowered by you, Lord, the famous Lord. He's the same yesterday.
Great is your fame. Great
your fame beyond the earth.
Great is your fame.
Great is your fame beyond the earth.
If you came in late and missed the announcement, if you're in your 20s, there's a group of us. I've been in my 20s, but we have food for you next door. We invite you to come and to share in that. If you're here for the first time too, Frank, raise your hand. Frank has a gift bag outside that has, I'll put your hand, that has chocolate in it, so you don't want to miss that. There is somebody here, the Lord just impressed this on my heart too, that feels that they can't be forgiven. And I don't know what this means, but God wants you to know, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgression from you. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for you. Hear the benediction. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you completely, totally, through and through, all the way. That's what it means. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless and holy until the coming of our Lord.